hello and welcome to Charity Chat, the ACNC's podcast. My name is Matt Crichton and I'm from the ACNC's education team. And in this episode, I spoke with ACNC Commissioner Dr. Gary Johns about the importance of charities managing donations properly. We recorded this chat in the aftermath of the Australian bushfires of early 2020, and we spoke about the challenges for charities in dealing with unprecedented amounts of money and how crucial it is to have good management processes in place to be able to use funds properly and to avoid any trouble. I hope you enjoy the discussion. Dr. Gary Johns, welcome to Charity Chat, the ACNC's podcast.
Thanks indeed, Matt.
Today, I thought we'd talk about donations to charities, particularly we're recording this in January 2020 in light of the recent bushfires across the country. And we've seen charities become the recipients of really a large amount of funds. And this is a good thing, of course, but it can pose some challenges for charities.
Yeah, look, if you may be a long-established charity and say you have a turnover income of $500,000 or $1 million, which is quite an amount, and then within a matter of weeks, $5 million, $10 million comes onto the books. You've got a real problem because you've got to know how to distribute those monies. You probably have existing programs that would have spent your original plans for $500,000 or $1 million or whatever. Suddenly, you have 5-10 times that amount. Now, you've got to think about what you're going to do with those monies. But most important, keep good records of the monies coming in, and you'll need to keep good records of the monies going out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a charity doesn't want to get itself into trouble later on, having not done things properly at the beginning. Do you think with a sudden increase in of such large amounts of money, there is a pressure on these charities to do more with their funds? You mentioned that they may have had a yearly budget of $1 million before and suddenly they've got 5, 6, 10 million. Do you think they feel a pressure to do more with those funds?
They do, and you know, we're hearing now in January 2020 lots of stories running in the media that people on the ground, people have been affected by bushfires, are not getting what they need.
Right.
And our message has been some of the things they need have nothing to do with charities. It's to do with, you know, water and energy and electricity and phones. That's all done by utilities of state government. So first of all, charities need to remember you do what you do best.
Right.
And the public needs to be aware of that. Now, so nevertheless, there is that pressure to do something immediately, and we know the old media gets stuck in and wants a story and a headline every day. A charity is best placed to literally sit down and have a meeting.
Yeah, right.
Sort out what they believe they can do. And in these circumstances, in that emergency situation, the best thing they can do is talk to other charities, see what they're doing, who they're doing it for, and how they plan to roll out their funds. So I think it's the coordination effort that's most important here, not the speed of getting money out the door.
Yeah, right. And particularly with a single charity, there's a danger of, I suppose, overreach, thinking that they need to do more, they need to do it quickly, they need to do everything, and reaching far beyond their own capacity rather than, or the temptation to reach beyond their own capacity rather than cooperating or collaborating with other charities in the area.
Yeah, and I think that's where mistakes will be made. You'll give to the wrong people. There is unfortunately some fraud about in these areas where people make claims they're really not entitled to. So charities have to be wary of that. They are holding the donor's money in good faith, that the money will be used to good effect, but only the charity can make those decisions as to what is good, what's money well spent. Take a little bit of time to consider that and get it right, and don't be pushed around by the latest media outcry.
Yeah. You mentioned the desire to get money out the door as quickly as possible. Of course, we all understand that desire and we want people to be helped as quickly as possible, and there are really some immediate needs out there. But is it important for charities to also understand that there is some value in taking the time to figure out how best to use the huge amount of funds they're in receipt of.
Yeah, they are. And we're not talking about doing some sort of cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah, right, over several months.
Yeah, we're just talking about getting out the, dare I say, the whiteboard and mapping out your capabilities, the amount of new money you've got in, what you had planned to do in the next year, and what you now think you should be doing in conjunction with other charities in, you know, the immediate response, but also in this recovery phase. And look, if you're not quite sure what to do and it's all very new to you, ring up an established charity who's done this before, and I'm sure they'll be willing to help you out, even if they just tell you what they're doing. So make a phone call. Let's build that network, especially in these sort of immediate and emergency relief situations. Charities call this a cluster. You get together, you talk among each other, and that is such a powerful discussion because you know then how your charity can add value to the overall picture.
Yeah, and I suppose we don't want to scare people off doing things by saying you need to have several meetings and whatnot. This can be fairly rudimentary and done informally, as you mentioned, a phone call, a couple of quick meetings in a short amount of time, but it really does make a difference in the long run.
Yeah, it does. So you may be, let's say a mum and dad charity. Okay, so you've set up something, it's run for a number of years, and you've done wonderful work, but at a small scale or perhaps on one or two topics. Now, all of a sudden, people are wanting you to do different things. Now, you may have to bring in other people onto your board to help, and that takes discussions. You may have to hire people, and the only money you have to hire people is donors' money.
Right,
and that's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, if you make a couple of decisions to hire people who can manage the accounts, keep good records, have a computer system, be able to keep good notes on the programs that you are going to run, perhaps in conjunction with other charities, those things cost money.
Yeah.
Don't be at all embarrassed that you'll need to spend some donors' money on administration, because you're probably likely to waste the least amount of money if it's well managed. And remember, it's the effect of that money getting to the right sort of recipient that makes for, I think, the most powerful charity.
Yep. And just on the collaboration point, I think this is an important one, and one that may be in these certain circumstances possibly overlooked, but it's still important for charities to do their due diligence and their proper research in thinking about who they're collaborating with and for what purposes.
Yeah, mainly talk to other registered charities.
Yep.
At least you know, you're reassured that they're on the commission's register, their responsible persons are known, their key documents there, and they probably have quite a history, and they're probably, if they've been around, have an annual information statement, annual report, financial report, whatever. You've got something to start with.
Yep.
And, of course, a website. And, you know, they have a presence. So get talking, get thinking. If you need to, hire some people in. If you need to expand your board, don't make it a big deal, but you may need to bring one or two people on who can literally manage the accounts or whatever. But above all, in all of this, keep good records.
Yeah.
So that if something goes wrong or if someone complains to us and we have to come in and knock on your door, you have an explanation for what you're doing. It's mostly about explaining the decisions you made, that you did think about the risk, you did take matters into account. We're all going to make mistakes. There's nothing wrong in making mistakes. It's whether or not you were diligent and you applied your mind to the risks that were before you.
And just on that point, when we talk about records, I mean, there are obligations that a charity has to the ACNC as far as keeping records go, but practically speaking, how can a charity do this? I think some may get lost in the actual doing and not realise what would suffice for adequate records or the sorts of things that would adequately explain what they've done?
Yeah. Look, we're all pretty well electronically based now. Even if you have good email correspondence,
yeah, right,
between, you know, yourself as president, the secretary and the treasurer and so on. But if you're having meetings, do take some notes.
Yep.
Do record the decisions that you've made, because you need to be able to justify the expenditure of money. If there's a record that says, you know, we did meet, we did consider these things, all three of us or five of us or whatever agreed, you know, in the full knowledge of what we're doing, well, this shows consideration, and that's a lot.
Yep.
Imagine that you're doing this in a public place. You should be able to justify yourselves to the public. In a sense, you're justifying yourselves, your actions to the donor,
yep,
on behalf of recipients, beneficiaries, and it's easier if you have a record of that justification.
And of course, the circumstances, the extraordinary circumstances within which all of this plays out, doesn't change the governance processes and structures that your charity should be built on.
Yes, you know that we have a set of rules or governance principles, five of them that we abide by, but really it's about proper process.
Yep.
Have your meetings, account back to your members or whatever the structure is. Be regular in your correspondence. Keep good accounts. If you're dealing with third parties, for instance, you're getting them to undertake some activities and you have to pay for them, keep it recorded. Make sure that they're a separate entity, that any relations are disclosed and so on. Do things properly and carefully. Put it all on the table. One, you're not going to go too far wrong if you do that. Two, you're unlikely to get into trouble from a regulator.
Yeah, and I suppose it's all built on those principles of transparency and accountability.
Yes, it is indeed.
Be sure to check out other episodes of ACNC Charity Chat and other resources, including guides, fact sheets and webinars, on our website at acnc.gov.au. And if you enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more, subscribe on iTunes or wherever you happen to access it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.